Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, April 6, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. and its allies prepare to impose more sanctions on Russia.
The global bond sell-off deepens as the Fed steps up tightening talk.
Janet Yellen warns the war threatens massive economic repercussions.
And Bank of America pushes for all workers to get back in the office.
The MTA's incoming subway and bus chief focuses on improving ridership and service. Plus, Ivanka Trump testifies before the January 6th committee. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashire in sports. The Nets beat the Rockets. The Rangers beat the Devils. And Tiger Woods says he's coming back to play the Masters.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures moving lower this morning, adding to yesterday's losses. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 25 points. Dow futures down 157, and NASDAQ futures down 122. 10-year Treasury down 20, 30 seconds, yield 2.62%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.6% at $103.62 a barrel. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We begin this morning with the latest on the war in Ukraine. NATO foreign ministers are meeting in Brussels while the U.S. and its allies are working on new sanctions against Russia. Amy Morris joins us with details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Ukrainian officials say Russian forces continue to strike infrastructure targets like fuel storage and grain silos. And Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky made a plea for peace before the UN Security Council, urging the UN to do more to stop Moscow's aggression, saying through a translator that Russia doesn't deserve a seat at that table.
We are dealing with a state that is turning the veto into the UN Security Council into the right to die. This undermines the whole architecture of global security.
China expressed dismay at the killing of unarmed civilians without condemning Vladimir Putin. Russia continues to deny the accusations. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is weighing in on civilian deaths in Ukraine. He says the atrocities in Bucha are not isolated incidents. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Secretary Blinken says the U.S. is helping in a thorough investigation and says there must be accountability from the top down.
What we've seen in Bucha is not the random act of a rogue unit. It's a deliberate campaign to kill, to torture, to rape, to commit atrocities.
And Blinken says it will all be documented and reported. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ed, thanks. On the economic front, the war has had a major impact on oil and gas prices. Later today, oil executives head to Capitol Hill to answer questions about price hikes. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Chief executives of BP America, Chevron, Devon Energy, ExxonMobil, Pioneer Natural Resources, and Shell USA are set to testify before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. The hearing will include both in-person and remote attendees. It comes amid intensifying scrutiny of oil companies whose stock values have climbed along with the price of crude, stoking new congressional proposals for a windfall profits tax. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will also be testifying before Congress today on how the war in Ukraine could impact the global economy. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will warn that the war in Ukraine threatens to inflict enormous economic repercussions. That's according to a copy of prepared remarks that she'll give to the House Financial Services Committee. Her testimony comes as the IMF is preparing to cut its forecasts for global growth. And Deutsche Bank economists say that they should now expect a U.S. recession in the next 2 years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. Turning to markets now, we're seeing the global bond sell-off deepen this morning. Let's get the latest on that live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Nathan, the bond rout worsened after Federal Reserve Governor Lael Brainard said the central bank will likely step up policy tightening.
Given that the recovery has been considerably stronger and faster than in the previous cycle, I expect the balance sheet to shrink considerably more rapidly than in the previous recovery.
The prospect of aggressive Fed action drove the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury up 5 basis points to 260. Investors are dumping fixed income securities as policymakers move to raise rates in the face of surging global inflation. Global bonds extending losses this week after completing an 8-month losing streak. That is the longest on record. Strategists say the whole Fed tightening narrative is being moved up in time and magnitude. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We may get more clues about the future of interest rates this afternoon when minutes of the Fed's March policy meeting are released. We are also likely to get details of the Fed's plans to shrink its massive balance sheet today.
All right, let's turn to corporate news now, Karen. We have a takeover bid in the airline industry. JetBlue has offered to buy rival Spirit Airlines for $3.6 billion. The move could potentially spoil an earlier agreement for Frontier Group to buy Spirit. The unsolicited proposal from JetBlue has the potential to reshape the landscape for ultra-low cost air travel in the U.S.
Well, turning to the pandemic now, Nathan, the push to get workers back in the office is picking up. Now, Bank of America plans to bring all its U.S. employees back by June 1st. We get the story from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
The return to office includes those who haven't been vaccinated against the coronavirus. Sources say employees will still have some flexibility to work from home, but they are being strongly encouraged to collaborate with colleagues in person. Bank executives on Wall Street have voiced concern that junior bankers and traders can't get the same kind of training and mentorship over Zoom that they can from being in the office alongside more senior colleagues. In New York, Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lisa, thank you. And this could be a boon for Pfizer. Bloomberg News has learned the White House is on the hook to pay Pfizer nearly $5 billion for pills it's already ordered to treat COVID. That means the Pfizer treatment could eat up about half of a scaled-back pandemic funding bill that the Senate is debating. Right now, S&P futures are down 24 points. Dow futures down 154. NASDAQ futures are lower by 120 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 20, 30 seconds. The yield 2.62%. Yield on the 2-year 2.55. And NYMEX crude up 1.7% at $103.64 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Still raining, 45 degrees in Central Park. It's not nearly that warm. Here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Don't get me happy like that. Weekday subway ridership in New York City is nearly 60% of 2019 levels. Now the incoming subway and bus chief wants to boost that. Richard Davies says he will focus on how to improve service to bring more riders back.
Safety is absolutely the top priority in the security of our system. I think that's job one.
Davey plans to work with the New York City Police Department and mental health outreach workers to reduce crime.
I did observe riders, you know, standing against walls, for example, or situating themselves near posts or other immovable objects to make sure that someone didn't approach them from behind.
Richard Davey, a former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation who also ran Boston's mass transit system, will begin his tenure on May 2nd. As president of New York City Transit at the MTA. Ivanka Trump has testified before the House January 6th committee. She answered the questions remotely. Chairman Minnie Thompson says Ivanka Trump cooperated voluntarily answering what she knew about the hours with her father, former President Trump, before, during, and after the Capitol riot. Earlier, Ivanka's husband, Jared Kushner, spent nearly 6 hours talking to the committee. President Joe Biden is ordering a new national research push on long COVID. The president is also directing federal agencies to support patients dealing with a mysterious and debilitating condition that includes fatigue and brain fog. Meanwhile, there are more reported cases of diabetes after COVID-19. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
The science is definitely starting to demonstrate this link between people who previously had COVID and increasing rates of new diabetes diagnoses.
Dr. Walensky also says the 7-day average of new COVID hospitalizations is about 1,400 per day, a decrease of about 17% over the previous week. Severe weather killed at least 2 people, one in Georgia and another in Texas yesterday. Hail, strong winds, and tornadoes tore across the south. In Crawford County, Georgia, this homeowner describes the moment the storm hit.
I heard, you know, the noise. Everybody says there's a train noise. So It didn't last but about like 20, 30 seconds.
More severe weather is forecast in the southeast today. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashar.
Thanks, Nathan. Tiger Woods won the Masters in 2019, finished 38th in 2020 when the Masters was postponed until November. He hasn't played a tournament since then. He didn't play last year's Masters because last year at this time, he couldn't get out of bed. But 14 months after the life-threatening injury suffered in the car accident, Tiger's set to tee off tomorrow morning around 10:30. He's been playing practice rounds at Augusta and was asked how he's playing.
I can hit it just fine. I don't have any qualms about what I can do physically from a golf standpoint. It's now walking is the hard part. You know, this is normally not a easy walk to begin with.
He'll play with the South African Louis Oosthuizen and the young Chilean Joaquin Niemann, who is half Tiger's age. Hourly Masters updates here on Bloomberg Radio and a wrap-up show each night at 11. Kyrie Irving enjoying being allowed to play in Brooklyn, scored 42 points, made 8 three-pointers. The Nets beat Houston 118-105. Needed a big game from Kyrie because Kevin Durant, coming off a 55-point game, shot just 4 of 13. Rangers in New Jersey won 3-1. 47th goal for Chris Kreider. He's third in the league. 2 assists for Artemi Panarin. He's got 65, which is tied for second in the NHL. 5th straight winning goal for Alex Gorgiev. Islanders lost in Dallas 3-2. The end of the Grapefruit League. The Mets lost to Washington 14-0. Taiwan Walker got roughed up. The two teams play the opener tomorrow in D.C. The Yankees lost to the Tigers and then came home. Opening day with the Red Sox scheduled for tomorrow at the stadium, but rain is in the forecast. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 24 points. Dow futures down 155. NASDAQ futures are lower by 123 points. The 10-year Treasury is now down 21 32nds with a yield 2.62%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.55%. Latest on the war in Ukraine next with Bloomberg's Mark Champion. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors. Challenging times call for proactive advisors who help minimize taxes, increase cash flow, and create opportunities for the future of your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and a global bond sell-off deepening and stocks slumping as investors position for a swift reduction in the Federal Reserve's debt holdings as part of a stepped-up campaign of monetary tightening to tackle high inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures are down 31 points, Dow futures down 194, NASDAQ futures down 148. 10-year Treasury down 22 32nds, yield 2.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.6%, up $1.66 at $103.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.50 at $19.32.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.0908 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3086. The yen at 123.91. And Bitcoin is lower, down 1.5% at $45,150. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The U.S., European Union, and Group of Seven are coordinating on a fresh round of sanctions on Russia, including a U.S. ban on investment in the country and an EU ban on coal imports. It comes after the discovery of civilian murders and other atrocities in Ukrainian towns left open by retreating Russian forces. In golf, Tiger Woods says for now he'll probably tee off at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia tomorrow, following a 14-month recovery from a near-fatal car crash that almost cost him his leg. Stay tuned for updates every hour on Bloomberg Radio and a special edition of Masters Tonight, coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. In the NBA, the Nets and Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Devils 3-1. The Islanders and Bruins lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and our global team coverage of the war in Ukraine continues now with Mark Champion joining us, Bloomberg News Senior Reporter for International Affairs. Mark, good morning. I want to start off with the latest on what we're seeing on the ground in Ukraine. We've gotten these reports that some Russian forces have pulled away from near Kyiv, where those horrific images have been left behind and are now focusing on the east. Is that what we're seeing at this point?
Yes, in the first part. So essentially, the Russians announced that they would withdraw from the north. The Ukrainians sort of took advantage of that and have been harassing them. And they have largely left from around Kyiv and in some other areas in the north. The expectation, largely because the Russians have said that this is what they want to do, to focus on the east and the Donbass region instead, is that those forces will eventually be moved around to the other side of the country and join the war effort, the Russian war effort, in through the east. That's where Mariupol has also been under siege for several weeks now. So that hasn't actually happened yet. There haven't been actual sightings of those troops that left the north moving to the east. It's expected that, you know, could take a couple of weeks.
And we also heard this morning from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, once again giving a virtual address, this time to the Irish Parliament, saying that Russia hasn't given up on its ambition to take over the entire country. If we do have this focus seemingly at the moment on the eastern part of Ukraine, how does that square?
Well, in a way it does. I'm sure that if the Russian military command was to do this over, they would not begin their campaign with their forces stretched across at least three different fronts in the north, to around Kyiv, around Kharkiv, down in Odessa, and then across in the east as well. So what they would probably have done would be to concentrate forces in the east, where they already have advantages, and then just force their way in, take the territory that they need to consolidate for the logistical purposes, etc., and then push west. And that may be what happens now.
And of course, after all the images that we saw over the weekend of the atrocities in Bucha and potentially in other places, we're hearing about more coordinated efforts by the U.S. and allies to tighten sanctions even further on Russia. We heard the ban on coal imports from the European Union yesterday. What more is on the table, Mark?
Well, there is the possibility that the European Union could ban imports of oil from Russia and imports of natural gas from Russia. This is what the UK and the US have done in part, and it's also what President Zelensky is pressing the EU to do. But these are really difficult moves for some countries which are highly dependent on Russian gas and oil. So they're taking a first bite. Coal is not insignificant. 70% of European coal imports come from Russia. So there's a lot of substitution to do there. But they're, you know, something that was at one point just inconceivable, which is that Europe and in particular countries like Germany would cut themselves off from Russian oil and gas is now at least being talked about.
In our last minute here, Mark, is there any sense that cutting off Russian oil and gas would actually change the way the war is going, perhaps even bring this to a conclusion, given that the massive sweeping sanctions that have already been imposed on the Russian economy haven't had that effect and, in fact, have led to these horrific images that we've seen?
Yes. I mean, there's always a very difficult sort of translation between sanctions and, you know, the war efforts on the ground. This is no exception. But if oil in particular, if that were banned, that would have a absolutely crushing effect on the Russian budget. And, you know, at the moment, because of high oil prices, high gas prices, the Russians have actually had a bit of a boon, which has helped them to offset other sanctions. So it could have an impact, but what impact is very unpredictable. They might escalate instead of de-escalate, for example.
All right, we'll leave it there for now, Mark. Thank you, as always. Mark Champion with us this morning, our senior reporter for international affairs for Bloomberg News. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are moving lower, with S&P futures now down 29 points, Dow futures down 182, NASDAQ futures lower by 145 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 24, 30 seconds now, with the yield 2.63%. Just ahead, Janet Yellen's warning about the impact of the war and the deepening bond sell-off on comments from Lyle Brainard. As we check your top stories of the morning, you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Up first, the U.S. and its allies are coordinating more sanctions against Russia. That's after the alleged murder of civilians in Ukraine. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen is delivering harsh words for the regime in Moscow.
Humanity itself was killed in Bucha. It was killed in cold blood. Executed with his hands tied and a bullet in the head.
And President von der Leyen with those remarks this morning at the European Parliament. New sanctions will include a European embargo on Russian coal, a U.S. ban on investment in Russia, and tighter penalties on officials and state-owned enterprises.
In the meantime, Karen, Janet Yellen testifies before Congress today on the economic impact of the war. Let's get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Nathan, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will warn that the war in Ukraine threatens to inflict enormous economic repercussions. That's according to a copy of prepared remarks that she'll give to the House Financial Services Committee. Her testimony comes as the IMF is preparing to cut its forecasts for global growth. And Deutsche Bank economists said that they now expect a U.S. recession in the next 2 years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Turning to the markets now, we're seeing the global bond sell-off deepen this morning. We get the very latest live with the Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, Fed Governor Lael Brainard said the U.S. Central Bank will likely step up policy tightening. That has accelerated the bond round and is driving the yield on the benchmark 10-year treasuries up another 9 basis points this morning to 2.64%. Bonds worldwide have seen an 8-month losing streak. That is the longest on record. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
And John, we could get more clues from the Fed later today. The central bank releases minutes from its latest policy meeting and unveils details of its likely plans to shrink its balance sheet.
Well, Nathan, Bloomberg News has learned Bank of America plans to bring all its U.S. employees back to the office by June 1st. And that includes those who have not been vaccinated against the coronavirus. Sources say B of A staff will still have flexibility to work from home, but are strongly encouraged to collaborate with colleagues in person. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 30 points, Dow futures down 180, and NASDAQ futures down 151. 10-year Treasury down 24, 30 seconds, yield 2.63%, and the yield on the two-year 2.56%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. To 6:33 on Wall Street, still raining, still 45 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on the upper level of the 59th Street Bridge heading into the city. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City's incoming subway and bus chief says safety will be one of the focuses on how to improve service. Richard Davey, a former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation, will be the president of the New York City Transit at the MTA. Sitting next to Jen Oliber, MTA's chief executive officer, Davey says the riders deserve a better system and want a better system.
I also did see, you know, homeless folks sleeping on, you know, platforms, you know, I did see a fare evader.
Davey begins his tenure on May 2nd. The House panel investigating the Capitol riot questioned Ivanka Trump for 8 hours, asking about her recollections of that day inside the White House with her father, former President Donald Trump. Ivanka Trump served as a senior White House advisor during her father's presidency. She testified voluntarily. The siblings of Ghislaine Maxwell say they are profoundly shocked and troubled that a judge has rejected a new trial despite revelations that a juror who helped to convict her failed to disclose he was sexually abused as a child. In a statement, the Maxwell family said it remains optimistic about an appeal before a panel of three Manhattan appeals judges. The statement came 4 days after U.S. District Judge Allison Nathan wrote she cannot order a retrial in the sex trafficking case after determining the juror did not deliberately give wrong answers on a juror questionnaire. Authorities say one person is dead in Georgia and another in Texas amid damaging storms, high winds, and tornadoes around the South. More than 50,000 homes and businesses lost power last night from eastern Texas to South Carolina. In Crawford County, Georgia, this homeowner describes the moment the storm hit.
I was just standing at the doorway, and then I started hearing that noise and started seeing the trees start to go in a circle. And I just headed back in. I got a little pool table up under there, and I just kind of hunkered down.
Forecasters say more damaging weather is expected today. Recent studies are showing an increased likelihood of being diagnosed with diabetes in the months after contracting COVID-19. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
I think as we consider the menu of many things that could be incorporated into post-COVID conditions, diabetes certainly should be one of those conditions considered.
Dr. Rochelle Walensky, Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Once again, John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Tiger Woods says he's hitting the golf ball well. The hard part will be walking between shots. He says Augusta National, not an easy walk to begin with, let alone for someone 46 years old who's had multiple back and knee surgeries and was in a life-threatening car accident 14 months ago. But Tiger's set to make his return at the Masters. He's won it 5 times. He tees off tomorrow morning around 10:30 and hopes to play all 4 rounds.
It's the recovery. You know, how am I going to get all the swelling out and recover for the next day? And my team has been fantastic and worked very hard. So we've got another day of 9 more holes and then come game time.
Tiger said he's excited about the challenge. As always, said he believes he can win. Hourly Masters updates here on Bloomberg Radio and a wrap-up show each night at 11. Nets in Brooklyn against the Rockets, who are 20-60. Houston hung in the game, getting 66 points from the backcourt of Kevin Porter and Jalen Green. But Kyrie Irving scored 42 points. The Nets won 118-105. Rangers beat the Devils 3-1. Islanders lost in Dallas 3-2. Yankees need to bring some extra chairs out to the bullpen. They set their roster, headed north, with only 3 reserves, 16 pitchers. Yanks opener tomorrow at the stadium against the Red Sox. Weather permitting, the Mets to open tomorrow in Washington. Max Scherzer unlikely to pitch due to a tight hamstring. The Mets hope Scherzer can make his Mets debut on Friday. MLB has okayed the use of PitchCom, a device where a catcher can communicate with a pitcher by the use of a push of a button. The hope is it's the end of sign stealing. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Once again, Kriti, seeing moves to the downside, particularly in tech.
Yeah, a lot of it is going to be a reaction to what you're seeing in the bond market. You had John Tucker just talk about an 8-month slide when we're talking about bonds selling off. But take a look at this, Nathan. It is 6:37, like you said, and you already have a 10-basis-point move, or almost 10-basis-point move in the 10-year yield upwards. That, of course, is going to hit tech. And those are going to be some of your major movers, probably why you're starting to see a lot of red on the screen. Let me just go through some of them here. Twitter, for example, TWTR is going to be a very high-volume one, down 1.4%. We'll get to why on more on that that one in a second. But let's talk about the heavyweights here. Apple is a big one. AAPL is your ticker. Down 1% this morning. NVIDIA is going to be another one. The chip maker, of course, NVDA, down 2.5%. Tesla also taking a hit. TSLA down 2%. Remember, Tesla has actually been leading a lot of those gains in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ for the last two sessions. So that's really something you want to keep in mind. As you start to see these bond yields get higher and higher, it's going to hit tech. Now, remember, we talk about this inverse correlation all the time, that tech's going to drop every time yields are higher, but it's not every time yields are higher. It's every time yields are higher by this much of a margin, 10 basis points, 14 basis points. I think we were up 17 basis points yesterday, and you saw the NASDAQ take an enormous hit. So it really does come down to the margin of the move when it comes to the bond space, and that, of course, is going to kill tech today.
Yeah, we're seeing NASDAQ futures lower by another 1.1% in the pre-market. We've been talking as well about this morning. I know you've been watching it, Creedy. Some takeover drama in ultra-low-cost air travel.
You know, it's fascinating, Nathan, because there's so much cash in the system right now. I think a lot of people are saying, well, if we're not going to use buybacks, what are we going to use it on? And a lot of the question ends up becoming mergers and acquisitions, and that's really where Spirit Airlines comes into focus this morning. SAVE is your ticker, down 2.3%. This comes after the budget carrier received a $3.6 billion takeover offer from JetBlue. It was unsolicited, and it also, the offer tops a competing bid by Frontier Group. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about this major deal between Frontier and Spirit, essentially kind of forming together a super budget group, if you will. Essentially, for our European listeners, it's the equivalent of Ryanair here in the States. But nevertheless, they said it was unsolicited, but they are going to consider the offer and give a return answer in due course. JetBlue shares JBLU also down this morning, down 4%. So it's unclear if there's a ton of investor optimism right now. Nathan, as promised, let's quickly hit Twitter. TWTR down 1.3%. This, of course, comes after Elon Musk refiled the disclosure of his stake to classify himself as an active investor.
Yes, may have topped out there. Okay, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Creedy Gupta with us this morning as we look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open. It's pointing to a lower open with S&P futures now down 31 points, Dow futures down 185, NASDAQ futures leading the declines, as we mentioned, down 162 points, a drop of 1.1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. It's raining, but it'll end by midday. We'll be in the high, low 50s for highs today. Mid 50s tomorrow with scattered showers and storms. Low 60s by Friday. Right now, 45 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower. Treasuries extending their slide. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now. Dow futures down 281 points. S&P's dropped 57, while NASDAQ futures are down by 328. The U.S. 10-year yield jumps to 2.65%. Gold is up 3%. Oil is climbing. And Bitcoin is down by 1.1%. Japan fell 1.6% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 2 o'clock minutes from the FOMC. After the bell last night, Spirit Airlines confirmed the proposal from JetBlue for $33 a share in cash. And regarding earnings this morning, Greenbrier EPS beat estimates. Wrapping things up, Jazz Pharma was cut to neutral at Goldman Sachs. PayPal was rated a new eco weight over at Stevens. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. China says the reports and images of civilian deaths in the Ukrainian town of Bucha are deeply disturbing and is calling for an investigation. It comes as Western governments are preparing tougher sanctions against Russia. China reported more than 20,000 new daily COVID cases. It's driven by surging infections in Shanghai. In golf, Tiger Woods says for now he'll probably tee off at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia tomorrow, following a 14-month recovery from a near-fatal car crash that almost cost him his leg. Stay tuned for updates every hour on Bloomberg Radio and a special edition of Masters tonight coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. In the NBA, the Nets and Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Devils 3-1. The Islanders and Bruins lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. According to an Israeli study, a fourth dose of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine improves protection against infection and severe illness. The findings, published today in the New England Journal of Medicine, were based on data for 1.2 million people ages 60 years and older. About half of the participants had a fourth jab, while the rest had only the third. The rate of severe illness among those who received a fourth dose was about three times lower than those who had received only a third dose. In England, last month, COVID infections reached their highest level since the pandemic began. That's according to a new study. It found the surge was driven by the Omicron variant BA2 and by waning immunity among older adults who received their booster shots earlier compared to other age groups. NASA's dress rehearsal for its mega moon rocket is off until at least this weekend because of a pair of technical problems that kept stalling a fueling test. Launch managers tried twice to load nearly 1 million gallons of fuel into the 322-foot rocket known as Space Launch System. The countdown test is the last major milestone before the rocket's long-awaited launch debut. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thanks. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S., EU, and G7 all readying new sanctions against Russia, an amendment dispute stalling the COVID spending bill in the Senate, and Ivanka Trump questioned for 8 hours in the Capitol riot probe. Also making news this morning, an ex-oligarch who says Russian President Vladimir Putin sees war with the West already underway. Let's get more on this now and the other stories from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joining us from the nation's capital. Very interesting story, Emily, on the Bloomberg terminal this morning. An interview with the former head of Yukos Oil, Mikhail Khodorkovsky. What's he saying about what Putin is thinking about the war in Ukraine?
Nathan, one of the really interesting things to emerge from this interview with him, you know, you've seen the U.S. try and be so careful about not escalating things with Putin, about saying that they don't want the U.S. and Russia to be directly engaged in conflicts. But according to what we're hearing from this former head of a Yukos oil company, Putin already sees that he's at war with the West. That's his perspective, even though currently the fighting is only in Ukraine. He doesn't believe, per the former oligarch, that if he invaded the Baltics, that U.S. and NATO would do anything. He sees NATO as weak, and that could mean that, you know, potentially this war is going to spread further than Ukraine, that we could see a potential escalation if this is indeed Putin's thinking.
And it is interesting insight, as we are hearing this morning from Ukrainian President Zelensky saying Russia hasn't given up its ambitions to take over all of his country. Given what Khodorkovsky is saying, Emily, what does this mean about the impact of sanctions that have already been imposed? And as the U.S. and allies consider even further ratcheting of punishments on the Russian economy?
Well, Khodorkovsky said that economic sanctions alone don't scare Putin, and he thinks the U.S. needs to show Putin a consistent policy of force. Now, there wasn't a ton of elaboration on that. There's really still not the appetite within Washington to actually send American troops over to Ukraine or to institute a no-fly zone. But Biden has been very adamant that should Putin go ahead and attack a NATO nation, that the U.S. will respond, that they will live up to their Article 5 duties and defend their allies in that regard. So I think at this point, it sounds like the concern certainly is of what happens if this war spreads to a NATO country. And based on what we're hearing from Khodorkovsky, Putin's mind is already there.
So what's on the table now as the U.S. and allies consider even further sanctions on Russia? We heard about the coal ban from the EU yesterday. What more could be coming?
So we're definitely seeing about the coal ban on the EU, and the EU is also discussing sanctioning of Putin's daughters. We don't know much about his daughters, but the hope is that the sanctions continue to ratchet up pressure within his inner circle. The U.S. is also looking to ban investments in the country. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said yesterday that governments plan to increase penalties on Russian financial institutions and state-owned enterprises and will sanction other Russian officials and their family members.
What's the holdup on sanctioning Russian oil and gas? It seems like that's been the real sticking point here, something that Europe in particular has been very reticent of targeting. Why not at this point, after particularly the atrocities that we've seen allegedly coming out of formerly Russian-occupied territory in northern Ukraine?
For Europe, I mean, a lot of the concern is just that so much of their oil, such a large percentage of it, is coming from Russia at this point. And there's, you know, the U.S. is trying to figure out ways to make sure that Europe is getting more oil and more gas, that they don't have to be reliant on Russia. You saw that release of this from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve announced the other week. But I mean, part of it is that it's just not as easy as it is for the U.S. For some of these European nations to really cut off their reliance on Russian oil.
All right, I want to turn quickly to some domestic matters as well. The debate is underway in the Senate on COVID funding, but it looks like it's hit a snag.
Yes, so it's a $10 billion package. The idea is that it will continue to allow the U.S. to produce vaccines and other medicines to sort of prevent and help those who have been infected with COVID. But it's gotten tied up in an immigration-related provision, Title 42, which basically allowed the Trump administration to bar migrants from crossing the border under concerns that they would bring the virus into the U.S. That's still in place right now, but the Biden administration has announced that they want to repeal it around May 23rd. That has a lot of Republican senators concerned, and even more so, it has a number of moderate Democrats and Democratic senators facing tough elections in the fall concerned. And you've seen them join forces with these Republicans and say that, you know, they want to, they're concerned about this ban being lifted. They're concerned about an influx of immigrants crossing at the southern border. And it's unclear exactly what the fate of this package is going to be. Republicans say that they want a vote on an amendment to stop the repeal of Title 42 to keep that in place. Senator Mitt Romney, who negotiated this package, believes that if that happens, that Republicans will have the votes to move the package. And now kind of things are in Senator Chuck Schumer's lap. They were really hoping to pass this legislation before everyone went home for the Easter recess on Friday. The House was supposed to leave on Thursday, but Nathan, that's looking less and less likely now.
Oh, so there's a possibility then just quickly that they may need more time even into the recess to get this done? 30 seconds left, Emily.
If they decide to go for it, yes. Otherwise, they could always break for recess, pick it up when they come back. I think right now, really, the ball is in Senator Chuck Schumer's court as to how they move on that.
All right. Emily Wilkins of Bloomberg Government, as always, thanks for the update from Washington. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures now down 33 points. Dow futures down 188. NASDAQ futures are lower by 166 points. And the bond sell-off continues this morning with the 10-year Treasury now down 25.32. The yield, 2.64%. Yield on the two-year, 2.56%. On a morning where we await the minutes from the Fed's March meeting and more clues on the rate path and the balance sheet. Bloomberg Surveillance up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. And this is Bloomberg.